Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Mem by Avram Golda, and today we're Sechus Erevin Dav Tzadiches. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis stated, Hayakor b'sefer al yiskupa v'nisgalgal ha'sefer miyado. If one was reading a scroll on a threshold, and one end of the scroll rolled from his hand and landed in Rishus Rabbim below, gololo eitzel, he may roll it in to himself. The Gemara asks, Hayiskupa heichidami, what's the case of the yiskupa, the threshold? The Gemara suggests that the threshold is Rishus Yachid, it's 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high, and the sefer rolled into the Rishus Rabbim in front of it. Even though there's a concern that the scroll might fall out of his hands into the Rishus Rabbim, and he might come to bring it from the Rishus Rabbim back onto the threshold, we're not gozer of the Rabbanim, because Rav Yehuda says the ratio of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rav Shimon, who holds, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus eino omed b'fnei kisvei kodesh. No law which is only of rabbinic origin stands in the way of treating kisvei kodesh with their due respect. The Gemara brings two more approaches. Point number two, the next case in the Mishnah stated, Hayekore b'rosh agag, v'nisgalgal ha'sefer miyado. If one was reading a scroll on a roof and it rolled into Rishus Rabbim below, v'shigiyo asar tefachim hovcho oksav. If it reached within 10 tefachim the ground, he may not roll it in. Rather, he should turn it over on its written side so that the lettering is not exposed and leave it there until after Shabbos. The Gemara asks if it's permitted to turn kisvei kodesh over on the written side based on a brace of the taught. Kosvei svarim tefillin and mezuzos. Those who write sifrei Torah, tefillin and mezuzos are not allowed to turn the parchment face down to protect the lettering from dust, el poros alas a beggar, but rather one should spread a garment over it. The Gemara answers that the Brice is talking about where it is possible to cover the written side with a garment, but in the Mishnah's case it's not possible since it would require a very large garment. And if he does not turn it over on its written side, eikum bizion kisvei kodesh fei. There will be a greater disgrace to the kisvei kodesh than if he were to turn it over and conceal the writing. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Ziz shulifnei chalon, nosin alav, v'notim mimenu b'shabbos. If there were a ledge, 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim off the ground in front of a window, one who is in the building may put things on it and remove things from it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what type of rishus the Ziz was extending into. If it was rishus or rabbi, there should be a concern that something might fall off the ledge and some might come to bring it back into rishus or yachi. Abai answers the ledge is extending into rishus or rabbi, and the Mishnah was referring to kel me'am nishbarim, breakable utensils such as earthenware or glass. Since they'll break if they fall off, there's no concern that someone will retrieve them. So once again, the three points are number one, the Mishnah on Dav Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis stated, Hayakore b'sefer al yiskupa, v'nisgalgal ha'sefer miyado. If one was reading a scroll on a threshold and one end of the scroll rolled from his hand and landed in Rishus Rabbim below, gololo eitzel, he may roll it in to himself. The Gemara asks, Hayiskupa heichidami, what's the case of the threshold? The Gemara suggests the threshold is the Rishus Yachid, it's 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high, and the sefer rolled into the Rishus Rabbim in front of it. Even though there's a concern that the scroll might fall out of his hands into the Rishus Rabbim, and he might come to bring it from the Rishus Rabbim back onto the threshold, we're not gozer of the Rabban, because Rav Yehuda says the ratio of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus, eino omed b'fnei kisvei kodesh. No law, which is only of rabbinic origin, stands in the way of treating kisvei kodesh with their due respect. The Gemara brings two more approaches. Point number two, the next case in the Mishnah stated, Hayakora b'rosh agag v'nisgalgal ha'sefer miyado. If one was reading a scroll on a roof, and it rolled into Rishus Rabbim below, v'shigiyo asar tefachim hovcho oksav. If it reached within 10 tefachim of the ground, he may not roll it in. Rather, he should turn it over on its written side, so that the lettering is not exposed, and leave it there until after Shabbos. The Gemara asks if it's permitted to turn kisvei kodesh over on the written side, based on a brace of the taught. Kosvei svarim tefillin and mezuzos. Those who write sifrei Torah, tefillin and mezuzos, are not allowed to turn the parchment face down to protect the lettering from the dust. El poros alas a beggar, but rather one should spread a garment over it. The Gemara answers the Braisa talking about where it's possible to cover the written side with a garment, but in the Mishnah's case, it's not possible since it would require a very large garment. And if he does not turn it over on its written side, ekabizion kisvei kodesh tvei, there will be a greater disgrace to the kisvei kodesh than if he were to turn it over and conceal the writing. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Ziz shlifnei chalon, nosin alav, v'notin mimena b'shabbos. If there was a ledge, 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim off the ground, in front of a window, one who is in the building may put things on it and remove things from it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what type of Rishus the Ziz was extending into. If it was Rishus Rabbim, there should be a concern that something might fall off the ledge and some might come to bring it back into the Rishus Yachid. So Abai answers that the ledge is extending into Rishus Rabbim, and the Mishnah was referring to Kelim Hamnishbarim, breakable utensils such as earthenware or glass. Since they'll break if they fall off, there's no concern that someone will retrieve them. All right, so now we go to our Siman for Daf Tzadiches, and the Siman is a way to schok, laughter, so we use clowns, circus clowns for our Siman. So here goes. The circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a scupa and the other read up on the roof. as the third clown kept dropping his glass utensils that he put out on the window ledge. Once again in slow motion. The circus clowns, that must mean we're on Dav Tzadiches. The circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a scupa, which reminds us that the mission said that if one was reading a scroll on a threshold and one end of the scroll rolled from his hand and landed in Rishus Rabban below, he may roll it into himself. The Gemara suggests the threshold is a Rishus Yachid, it's 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high, and the sefer rolled into the Rishus Rabban in front of it, even though there's a concern that the scroll might fall out of his hands into the Rishus Rabban, and he might come to bring it from the Rishus Rabban back onto the threshold, we're not Gozer Adurabban, because Rav Yehuda says the ratio of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds Kol Davar Shehu Mishum Shvus, Eino Omid B'nei Kisvei Kodesh. No law which is only of rabbinic origin stands in the way of treating Kisvei Kodesh with their due respect. The Gemara brings two more approaches. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, which reminds us the next case in the Mishnah stated, Hayakor B'Rosh Gag B'Niskalgo Azef Miyadu, if one was reading a scroll on a roof and rolled into Rishon's Rabban below, if it reached to within 10 tefachim of the ground, he may not roll it in. Rather, he should turn it over on his written side so that the lettering is not exposed and leave it there until after Shabbos. The Gemara explains that even though those who write Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah are not allowed to turn the parchment face down to protect the lettering from dust, but rather one should spread a garment over it, in the Mishnah's case, it's not possible since it would require a very large garment. And if it doesn't turn it over on the written side, there'll be even a greater disgrace to the Kisvei Kodesh than if you were to turn it over and conceal the writing. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, as the third clown kept dropping his glass utensils that he put out of the window and onto the ledge. Which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that if there were a ledge 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim off the ground in front of the window, one who's in the building may put things on it and remove things from it on Shabbos. Abai explains that the ledge is extending into Rishus Rabim, and the Mishnah was referring to Kelim HaNishbarim, breakable utensils such as earthenware or glass. Since they'll break if they fall off, there's no concern that someone will retrieve them. So once again, the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, as the third clown kept dropping his glass utensils that he put out on the window ledge. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Dav Tzadidala. So the symbol for Dav Tzadidala is a hunter. So here goes. The exasperated hunter. Hunter, that must mean we're on Dav Tzadidala. The exasperated hunter who missed when the deer ran out through the breached chatzar, which reminds us. The first mission on the Dav states, Rabbi Lezer holds that chatzar shenifritzu Rishus Rabim, a chatzar, which is completely breached into Rishus Rabim, or Rashi adds, an area breached more than 10 amos wide, then the chatzar has the lach of Rishus Rabim, and therefore, one would be forbidden with the rice to carry something from his chatzar into Rishus Yachid, or from a Rishus Yachid into his chatzar. The Chachamim disagree and hold that his chatzar has the lach of a carmelis, and therefore carrying from his chatzar into Rishus Rabim, or from Rishus Rabim to his chatzar, is forbidden with the Rabbanan. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Gazer would consider the chatzar Rishus Rabim if it's still privately owned and the owner has the right to restrict access, and concludes the machlokes between Rabbi Gazer and the Chachamim was on the makom mechitza, the site of the collapsed wall. Rabbi Gazer considers the area now used by the public as a Rishus Rabim. So the exasperated hunter who missed when the deer ran out through the breach chatzar, and again when it escaped through another chatzar breach in the corner, which reminds us, the next mission discusses a case of chatzar shenifritz of Rishus Rabim mishtei ruchoseh. A chatzar which two of its sides broke open into Rishus Rabim on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says it's permitted to carry there throughout that Shabbos, but not on the coming Shabbosim. Rav Yossi disagrees and says if it's permitted to carry on that Shabbos, then it would be permitted to carry on future Shabbosim, and if it would be forbidden to carry on future Shabbosim, then it would be forbidden to carry on this Shabbos as well. The Gemara explains the words of Rav Yossi on Dav Tzadihei Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks why the Mishnah discusses a case of two breach walls, as seemingly the halacha would be the same if only one wall was breached, and concludes that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the opening is 10 amos or less, and shenifritz b'keren zavis, it is open in the corner of the chatzar, and the two walls joining in the corner are breached. If there is only one opening, then we would say that the opening is considered a Pesach, and the chatzar is not considered to be open in the Rishus Rabim. But if the opening is in the corner, it cannot be considered a Pesach, being that the pitzchim b'keren zavis lav d'inshi. People do not make doorways in the corners of the chatzar. So the exasperated hunter who missed when the deer ran out through the breached chatzar, and again when it escaped through another chatzar breach in the corner, ran out of ammunition just as the deer stopped to eat under the aksadra in the valley. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the case of aksadra babika, a roof structure with four beams and no walls, standing in a valley. Rav holds that it's permitted to carry within the aksadra, being that we look at it as if pitikra yor desosim, four walls extend downwards from the top ends of the roof, thereby enclosing the area with a mechitza. Shmuel holds that one may only carry dalet amos within this area. He holds that we do not say pitikra yor desosim. The Gemara earlier qualified that Shmuel does not hold to this rule only when all four walls are missing, but he agrees when only three walls are missing, that we look at the area as if three walls are extending downwards and creating a mechitza. Dav Tzadihei. So the Simra Dav Tzadihei is a Tzahal tank commander. So here goes. The tank commander, that must be on Dav Tzadihei. The tank commander parked his tank under the second story over two houses on opposite sides of Rishus of Rabim, which reminds us. The last mission of the Perek states, Habon Ali al Gabishnei Batim. If one builds a second story over two houses that are on opposite sides of Rishus of Rabim, one is permitted to carry underneath his upper floor, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim disagree and say that it's usher to carry there. Rabbi explains that the reason Rabbi Yehuda permits it is not because he holds that two walls, meaning the sides of each building, are a proper mechitza, midaraisa, but rather because he holds that pitikri yod v'sosem. We look at the ends of the upper floor as if walls are extending downwards from it. Therefore, there are actually four walls. Rabbi explained to Abai that while it's true that it's known from a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda does hold that two walls create a mechitza midaraisa, when he had said that this is not the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda, he meant to say that you cannot positively see that from our Mishnah, as Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning in our Mishnah may be because he holds that pi tikra yod v'sosem. So the tank commander parked his tank under the second story over two houses on opposite sides of Rishus Rabim when he noticed some tefillin and kameyas in a field, which reminds us the opening Mishnah in the 10th Perek states, Hamosi tefillin, one who finds tefillin on Shabbos in a field where one is not permitted to carry and where the tefillin are in danger of being destroyed, Machnisan zug, he should bring them in pair by pair. Rashi explains that he should put them on as if he's doing the mitzvah one at a time and continue this process until he's brought in all the pairs of tefillin. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees and says that one must put on two of the shel rosh on his head and two of the shel yad on his arm and bring them into his house in that manner. The Mishnah adds that one does this on Shabbos if it's clear that these tefillin were real. If they appear to be just kameyas, then one may not carry them on Shabbos in order to save them from desecration. So the tank commander parked his tank under the second story over two houses on opposite sides of Rishus of Rabim when he noticed some tefillin and kameyas in a field and had his crew wear two pairs of the tefillin each to bring back into the houses. Which reminds us that the Gemara adds that if Rabbi Gamliel holds the reason one is allowed to bring in tefillin by wearing them is Shabbos' man tefillin, then he should only permit wearing one pair of tefillin at a time. And if he holds that Shabbos loves man tefillin, and it's only for the purpose of saving tefillin that the Rabbanim permitted transporting them in the form of attire, then he should be allowed to wear and transport even more than two pair at a time. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Gamliel holds Shabbos loves man tefillin. However, the reason he cannot wear more than two pairs is that the Rabbanim permitted wearing tefillin in the manner of attire for saving them, but makum tefillin, in the place where tefillin is supposed to be worn. The Gemara concludes that there is place on the head for two pairs of tefillin and place on the arm for two pairs to be worn. Dav Tzadivav. So the Simra Dav Tzadivav is a town crier. So here goes. The town crier. That must be more on Dav Tzadivav. The town crier who proudly proclaimed, Shabbos is an os, no tefillin today, which reminds us. The Gemara tries to determine who the Tana is who holds Shabbos Zman Tefillin. One is obligated to put on Tefillin on Shabbos and suggests that it's Rabbi Akiva. This is rejected based on a brace of the Torah. Rabbi Akiva says, Yachol Yaniach Adam Tefillin B'Shabbos Yamin Tovim. One might think that a person must put on Tefillin on Shabbos Yamin Tovim. Talmud Omer V'Yel Ochel Oz HaYadcha, and it shall be a sign to you upon your arm. Mishat Zrichin Oz. On those days that you need a sign, Tefillin must be worn. Yatsu Eil She'en Gufin Oz. But excluded are those days which themselves are a sign. Shabbos is called an os, and since Yantav is called the Shabbos, it is likewise considered an os. So the town crier who proudly proclaimed, Shabbos is an os, no tefillin today, was shocked when he saw the king's daughter walk by wearing tefillin, which reminds us. Abraisa states, Michal bas Kushi haisa menachas tefillin v'lo michu b'chachamim. Michal, the daughter of Kushi, who Rashi explains to Shaul, would wear tefillin, and the sages did not protest. The Gemara infers from here that since women are only obligated in Mrs. Aseh Shalos Mangrama, positive mitzvahs that are not time-bound, and are not obligated in positive mitzvahs which are time-bound, by the fact that Michal wore tefillin and the Chachamim didn't protest, which Rashi explains to mean that they didn't see this as if she's adding a mitzvah to the Torah, we see that the mitzvah of tefillin applies at all times. This means that the Tana of this Braisa holds that the mitzvah of tefillin also applies at night and on Shabbos, as otherwise it would be a mitzvah at a set time. The Gemara concludes that there's no proof for this because there's a Tana Rabbi Yossi who holds that although women are not obligated to do time-bound mitzvahs, they are also not prohibited from doing them. So it might be that the Tana of this Braisa holds that tefillin are not worn at night or on Shabbos, and it's therefore a mitzvah Zaseh Zman Grama. However, Michal was still permitted to wear tefillin if she chose. So the town crier who proudly proclaimed Shabbos is an os, no tefillin today, was shocked when he saw the king's daughter walk by wearing tefillin, carrying twine threads of tchelis that were cut into pieces that she found in the marketplace. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, "Hamotzi tchelis min hashuk." If one finds tchelis in a marketplace, "Lashonos psulos chutin kasherin." If the tchelis he finds are strips of wool, which is combed and colored, it's pasul, and if it's just strings, it's kosher. Rashi explains that the reason the coward wool is puzzled is because we're concerned that it was not colored with the intention of being for tzitzis, and the lack of intention makes the tzitzis puzzle. The Gemara asks that in the case where he finds wool strings, they too should be puzzled, being that maybe the strings were spun with the intention to make them into clothing. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Elazar was discussing a case of strings that were shazuri, twine, and cut into pieces. People would never go to the bother of reattaching short threads and then weave them onto the border of a garment. Daf Tzadi Zayin. So the Simra Daf Tzadi Zayin is a chess master. Chess master. So here goes. The confused chess master. That must mean one Daf Tzadi Zayin. The confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert, which reminds us, Rav Chisitz said in the name of Rab, Halokeach tefillin mimi she'eino mumcha. One who purchases many pairs of tefillin from someone who is not an expert in the laws of tefillin, which Rashi explains to mean a middleman who purchased them from someone else, Bodek Shtayim Shel Yad Va'Akar Shel Rosh. He must examine two armed tefillin and one head tefillin, or Shtayim Shel Rosh Va'Akar Shel Yad, or two head tefillin and one armed tefillin to determine their validity. The Gemara clarifies that the middleman bought the tefillin from one person, and we must establish that the sofer who wrote them is expert in both arm and head tefillin. Rav Kahana brought a brisa that one need only check two tefillin, one arm and one head. And the Gemara answers that the brisa follows Rebbe, who says, "Betray zimni havi chazaka." A chazaka is established upon the occurrence of an act two times. Rebbe concedes that if someone bought several bundles that come from different soferim, then a chazaka needs to be established for each one. So the confused chess master who had just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, which reminds us. The Gemara clarified that according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Beis regarding finding tefillin in the field, if the danger is posed by sakanas listim, highwaymen, malichim pachas pachas ma'arba amos, then one should transport all the tefillin by walking less than four amos at a time. Rabbi Shimon says, nosin l'chavero v'chavero l'chavero. One should pass the tefillin from person to person until one reaches the city. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds walking less than dalad amos is preferable, since with the method of passing from one person to another, Ashva Milsa the Shabbos, the matter of disrespect for Shabbos is needlessly publicized. Rabbi Shimon holds it's preferable to pass from one person to the next, since there's concern with the method of walking less than Dalad Amos that one might not realize and come to carry Dalad Amos in Meshus Rabbin. So the confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, and to ignore the line of people passing a barrel of freshly drawn water. Which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Beis, the Rehuda said, Nosin Adam Chavis, a person may give a barrel containing water to his friend, and his friend to his friend, even if the barrel is transported beyond the owner's tchum. The Gemara asks, if Rebbe Yehuda does not accept what was learned in the Mishnah and Beya, Habahema Vakelim Karagli Abalim, animals and kelim are as the feet of their owners, meaning they may not be carried beyond where the owners may go. After the first answer was rejected, Rava answered that the Mishnah was dealing with a barrel that acquired its makum shvisa and tchum of the owner, but the water had not, since it was drawn from a spring or river on Shabbos or Yantim. Transporting the barrel beyond the tchum is not problematic, the batel chavis al gabi amim, since the legal significance of the barrel is negated vis-a-vis the water. The barrel is tafel to the water. A third answer is also provided. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus three bonus questions of Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number one, which depth do we learn that a barrel of freshly drawn water from a river can be passed person to person beyond the tchum, since the barrel is tafel to the water? That's on daf Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number two, which depth do we learn that the case of putting things out on Aziz was referring to breakable items where there's no concern that one will retrieve them? That's on daf Tzadi Ches. Good. Number three, which depth do we learn whether one can use tcheles found in the marketplace for tzitzis? That's on daf Tzadi Vav. Good. Number four, which depth do we learn that if a scroll unrolled from a roof to within 10 tefachim of Shus of Rabim, one should turn it over on the written side? That's on daf Tzadi Ches. Good. Number five, which depth do we discuss purchasing tefillin from someone who is not a mumcha, not an expert? That's on daf Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number six, which daf do we have in Machlokes Tanakhama Rabban Gamliel regarding how many pairs of tefillin may one wear if he finds them on Shabbos in a field? That's on daf Tzadi Hei. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn that Rabban Gamliel holds that Shabbos loves man tefillin and that one can wear two pairs of tefillin in the makom tefillin? That's on daf Tzadi Hei. Good. Number eight, which daf do we have a case of one chatzer which is five tefachim higher than another chatzer with a five tefach wall? That's on daf Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number nine, which daf do we have in Malchokas how to transport tefillin found in the field, whether walking less than dalad amos or passing person to person? That's on daf Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number ten, which daf do we learn that perhaps the Tanu taught Michal wore tefillin and the Chamim didn't protest, held like Rabbi Yossi, that women can choose whether they want to do a mitzvah seisha as man grama? That's on daf Tzadi Vav. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which daf do we have a Malkos regarding the degree of tumah for Avodah Zorah? That's on daf Hey, Base and Shabbos. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you want about? We ten Revach Menet Vekim in Kriya Shema. That's on Daf. Tezvav and Shabbos. Good. And number three. Which stuff do you want about? The halachas related to a movable wheel of a wagon. Amuchin. That's on Daf. Memdod and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.